today we're going to deal with another important issue that's going to be on the ballot in Nebraska this year, and that's the gambling issue. We've seen it before, but it's reared its ugly head again. I'm Debbie Blank with Living Word Ministries. I have a close friend and a very important person in Nebraska here in the studio with us today. She is so important to me, but more important to you, to your family, and to everybody in Nebraska, and you might not even know her name. So I'd like to welcome Pat Lunger. I'm so glad you've joined me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pat is Executive Director of Gambling with the Good Life. You may have heard of that organization because it's been around for 25 years. So Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Gambling with the Good Life.
I'm not a native of Nebraska. I've been here for many, many, many years. And I had 5 children, 13 grandchildren. I really appreciate the good life that Nebraska offers us.
How did you get involved in gambling?
It was 1995 when I got contacted by then-Senator Jim Jensen, and it was his first year down in the legislature. He was very disturbed because Council Bluffs had just opened up their 3 big casinos, which are all owned by Nevada. The gambling interest always crosses the river and wants to entice the next state. They came down to the legislature, and they made a proposal to the legislature to put it on the ballot to change our constitution to allow casinos to come into Nebraska. Because by the grace of God, we are protected by constitution against casinos and slot machines, one of the few states that are. He said they had come in, they almost got the vote, and he didn't think, since this was November of 95 and they were coming back in January, that we really stood a chance. But he said, we've got to give it a shot, because the thing that bothered him the most was no one came down to testify against it. I got a few friends together, and we started sending letters to churches. I'm a stay-at-home mom with 5 kids, but I'm thinking, oh, this is a 3-month commitment, and it's really important. And we went down, we testified in January, they voted on it in February, and we beat them 36-9. I don't know who was more shocked, the gambling lobbyists or us. We were delighted and thought, oh, this is great. It's, you know, this was a real accomplishment. First time I'd ever been involved in politics. And we were just so grateful when suddenly all the gambling interests got together and said, well, if we can't get it through the legislature, we'll do the petition process and we'll get it on in spite of the legislature. And they started that campaign. Well, that took us all the way into the summer and into the fall. We challenged their numbers and we won because so many of them were fake signatures. So we beat them 3 times in 1 year. I'm still thinking, okay, it's all over. I can go back and raise my kids. It's 25 years later, and they've never given up. The little devils come back every year with some form of expanded gambling. This year, they pulled out all the stops.
We have been together as friends for decades, but I first got involved with you in the gambling issue in 2004 with the first ballot issue that was actually on the ballot. How much did they outspend us by?
25-1, and we won by 65%.
And it's not changed because there were ballot issue, then 14, and then 2016 again. But you've always won on the ballot, and you've always won in court until this year. Right. What has changed?
I don't think the devil ever sleeps. I wish he would and give us a break on a year. But this year, the Winnebago tribe put up $2 million plus. They literally bought the signatures. They couldn't get it through the legislature once again. So they did the petition process. They couldn't even get people to carry it from Nebraska. So they were hiring out-of-state college students and bringing them in and going door-to-door in every post office and every grocery store. They got their signatures. This constitutional amendment, it is going to change our constitution forever. It says that it's only going to be at the 6 licensed racetracks. What they're not telling you is once you change that constitution, the Indians are allowed to have anything that's legal in a state. And that's why they put up $2 million. They put it up because they knew that once we change the constitution for, quote, 6 casinos at the licensed racetrack, they will be able to have Indian casinos all over the state.
So we have ballot initiatives 429, 430, and 431 on the ballot this year. 429 would change our constitution. It would not only allow for gambling at horse tracks, but once the camel gets his head underneath the tent, as you always say, that expanded gambling will continue forever anywhere across Nebraska, because once they get it legalized, there's no stopping them. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about the Indian casinos, because we have, what, 5 Native American tribes in Nebraska. So they would be able to legally, being untaxed and unregulated, put casinos on their reservation land.
Well, it's not only on the reservations, because just like what they did in Carter Lake, the Ponca tribe, that Carter Lake property was not Indian reservation. They go back and they have it put into trust. They can put trust land all over the state. Another thing about the 429, it not only is going to allow unlimited casinos, but it says all forms of casino gambling all over the state. Well, that includes sports betting, internet gambling, all the things that affect our youth. So in addition, the thousands of slot machines, plus the table games, we're going to have sports betting and internet gambling. We're especially concerned about that. In fact, Tom Osborne is our honorary chairman. That's the thing that really trips his trigger. He's so concerned about the youth and getting involved in sports betting. He believes that's going to damage just sports in general, but also the addiction rate of young people.
People are saying that you're being a little outlandish in some of these statements that you're making, because the ballot issue is very clear. It's just for the racetracks. So how do you really know that it's going to be casinos everywhere in Nebraska?
Going back to the $2 million, Winnebagoes did not put up $2 million because they like horse track. They put it up because that's their ulterior motive. And it does say right on the ballot that it's all forms of casino gambling. We took it to the Supreme Court, as a matter of fact, and challenged that. We lost that, heartbreaking, on a 4-3 decision. It already has been to the Supreme Court to say, yes, it will be all forms of casino gambling.
Now, Ballot Initiative 430 says that they're going to develop a gaming commission who will be able to regulate all this. Shouldn't we be able to trust this commission?
There will be unelected officials. I believe there's going to be 7 of them that will run all the gambling all over the state. These will have no influence from the legislature and no influence from voters or citizens. That's frightening.
What do you mean unelected? Who's going to appoint them? How are they going to get into their position?
I'm not sure. I believe the governor, whoever the governor is that year, I believe he gets to appoint one. So different organizations get to appoint, but they will all be unelected officials.
Then ballot issue 431 designates that isn't some money going to go to us, the taxpayers, from all of the gambling winnings?
That's what they're coming out with. They're not only saying that it's going to be restricted to 6, but they're also saying this is property tax relief. And that is so ridiculous. We've done the formula. It comes out to probably less than $30 a year. But the cost, and all the states that have this, so at least 3-1. So for every dollar a state gains in gambling revenue, it's going to cost them $3 in social costs, because crime will increase, divorce will increase, abuse, drunk, all of the things connected with having a casino. The taxpayers have to pick up that tab, not the gambling interest. So there is a tiny percentage in that third clause that will be kicked back to the stake. The rest of it is going to the gambling owners.
Politicians are usually the ones that approve gambling because they say it lowers the taxes in the state for its citizens. And yet you have a huge amount of politicians, former and current political leaders, who are against this. Tell us who some of them are and why they are against this as political leaders.
Tom Osborne, of course, is our honorary chairman, and he has said that when he was in Congress, he went and asked all the other congressmen who had casinos in their state. Every one of them said that he regretted it, that it had been a detriment, and advised Tom to work against it. And then every governor, all of our former governors, including, well, we've got Pete Ricketts, the current, we've got Bob Kerry, we've got Mike Johanns, Kay Orr, Dave Heineman. Warren Buffett has even done a 30-minute video for us that's on the national website, Stop Predatory Gambling. He did that a number of years ago for us, but it's still very current. The people who really care about this state are standing with us. In fact, we're doing a church coalition, and then we'll announce the church coalition, because virtually every church in the state is on our side, because they know what the victims, they know about the heartache and the divorce rates and all of that that's going to affect the churches. At our last press conference a number of years ago with the coalition, we had one church official get up and say, "We are the first aid. We are the emergency room. We're the ones who pick up all the broken families and the broken lives, and we don't need any more. We've got enough." We're praying that they will use their networks to get the truth out, because they're spending, if they spent $2 million to get the signatures, they're going to spend a lot more than that, and they already are. They're just inundating the news waves saying, vote yes, and we're saying, vote no, and save Nebraska.
And we talked earlier about how the Native American casinos, they're untaxed and they're unregulated. Perhaps for this short time, you would have five casinos at five racetracks. But in the long term, you'd have the Indian casinos who wouldn't give any money towards property tax relief, and yet it would cost money because businesses would close, they'd have prostitution come in, they'd have the ill effects of gambling. And so really, it's a lose situation, if nothing else, just for the Native American casinos that would pretty much inundate the state.
Right. And it's really sad that sometimes when you tell the lie long enough, and that's what they're doing with all of their ads, you know, property tax relief, limited amount of gambling, people believe it. We're just asking God to please open the eyes and the ears of the voters in Nebraska to seek the truth. Vote no, because this is going to be such a death threat. Our good life will never be the same.
Ernie Goss is a Creighton University professor, an economic professor. He did a study in 2019 about the taxes that come out of a state because of gambling. Can you share some of that information with us?
It was the Chamber of Commerce that asked for that study. It was shocking that one casino put downtown Omaha. It's just the opposite. We're not keeping the money in Nebraska. It would just increase the problem gambling and not deter it at all from going across to Council Bluffs.
We're talking today with Pat Lunger, Executive Director of Gambling with the Good Life. Pat, where can they get your information? How can they learn about the true facts of what these initiatives would do?
Our website are the initials, gwtgl.com. That has all of this information on it. And then we are also on Facebook, and we're trying our best to use social media because we can't afford television. We can barely afford radio. But we've got to get this out to the public before they're deceived. The fact that people are already voting, even before November 3rd, we've got to get the truth out and have them not to be deceived and not to lose the state. It would be heartbreaking after 25 years of success of saving Nebraska. And we're rated number one on so many different charts as far as economic development and the quality of life in Nebraska. That would be all ruined with this constitutional change.
Nevada is trying to buy Nebraska. They're willing to spend anything to buy our state, to buy your vote. Are we going to let someone from outside Nebraska try and buy it so that they can get the money? I want to challenge you, our listeners, to drive to the Exarban area between 60th and 72nd Street, Pacific and Center, and take a look at that area, how much it's used to develop businesses, how much it's used for the University of Nebraska, everything that's going on there that's so positive and raising huge taxes for our city and state. That whole area would have been a casino had Pat and her group not stepped in 25 years ago. You just imagine what that would have done to that part of the city of Omaha. Imagine what would happen if it came into your back door. And it could. You could be looking at walking into your 7-Eleven and having slot machines there. You could end up having a casino on your corner, not far from your house, if this happens. Now, is it going to happen overnight? No, but it's been proven that they will continue to increase the amount of casinos until they saturate the state. Now, tell me, Pat, they're saying we have to keep the money in Nebraska. Is that true? Will it keep the money in Nebraska?
Not at all. In fact, it's going to increase your taxes. Because of all the social costs. Who is going to pay the social costs for the crime and the divorce and the abuse cases and drunken driving and all the negatives that are affected by a casino? So your taxes are going to go up as a result of this. In Iowa, they've raised their taxes. It's kind of interesting. They went into Iowa and sold them on the idea of two river boats. That's it. That's all they were asking for, and they'd cruise up and down the river. Now they have 21 land-based casinos in Iowa. It's done nothing for their education system. Their taxes have gone up. And all you have to do is cross the bridge and stand in the middle between Council Bluffs and Omaha and look both ways and say, where would you rather live? We believe that you'd want to live in Nebraska because it is the good life.
Now, your flyer says that when Detroit voters approved casinos to stop $500 million from going across the river to Canada, the fact is that more people got hooked on gambling and gambling losses increased to $700 million.
Exactly.
So you don't keep the money in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. You send it out to Vegas, who ends up backing all of the Indian casinos and, generally speaking, probably the horse racing tracks. And so the money goes out to them, but we're left with the destruction.
Absolutely.
Tell us a story about a local business and what happened to them through embezzlement without casinos being in Nebraska.
Yes, and that was the Brown family, and they owned Colombo Candy. They had, I believe, 25, 27 employees at the time, trucks. They furnished materials for all kinds of quick shops. They had an accountant. She embezzled $4.1 million from their company, took it all across the river to the Council Bluffs casinos. The Council Bluffs casinos knew what her situation was. They knew she was not capable of this, but they played her. They had gave special attendance to her. They gave her prizes. They gave her trips. They did anything to get her to keep coming back. She's now in jail. The Brown family lost everything. All of those employees lost their jobs. The damage that one person could do, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because we have talked to many bankers and different who won't even go public with the embezzlements that have occurred there because it would destroy their reputations. But this happens all over. These are people who would never commit crimes. And yet, when they've lost their paycheck or they have to come home, they have to explain to their spouse why they lost the paycheck. That causes disruption in the family and divorce and abuse. It gets worse. They start embezzling from their employer. These are just people that you would never steal normally, but they're up against the wall and desperate. And we hear many of those cases.
There's a story also of a bank vice president in Scotts Bluffs, Nebraska, who did not have a casino across the river, and yet he embezzled from his bank.
Yes, and he had to go to jail. He has since, we're still in touch with him, and he did a commercial for us, talked to Tom Osborne, and did an interview with Tom. Luckily, he did not devastate his family. They are still together. They're trying to repair their lives. He did repay all the money that he embezzled, and he said his life will still never be the same.
Well, according to John Anderson, University of Nebraska Department of Economics, he says that slots in Nebraska will just drain more money out of the state.
Yes.
And you've said before that slots are the crack cocaine of gambling.
Yes.
You said also that this will bring in not only slot machines, but will also affect our youth. How really is sports gambling? How are other ways that our youth are going to be able to access gambling when gambling would be illegal to anybody under 21, wouldn't it, if this were passing?
Now, with all this technology that we've got and what these kids can do on their phone, if they ever got a hold of the parents' credit card, the parents would find out that they've just lost their house because their child has just bankrupted them by sports betting. It's very common for young people to want to do that. And I think that's the trigger that for Tom Osborne, because he has the teammates program. He cares about families and to try to strengthen the family. And when he saw that this was going to stretch that far into young people's lives, he just said, enough is enough. We've got to stop this.
And we know one young man who at 21 went to the boats to celebrate with his friends, and he got hooked. Caused great devastation to his family and financial loss.
Yeah, very famous family in Lincoln, Nebraska. He was going to the university at the time. The proposal that year was to change the racetrack into a casino, and which is right next to the university. He said, I'll have to leave the state. He says, I can't even come to Omaha anymore without an escort, because he says the compulsion to go back into gambling was so strong. It's a terrible addiction. They say it's even harder to break than cocaine.
The stories that we've just shared with you are stories of people who've been affected by gambling. These are not compulsive gamblers. So this isn't just something that you can say, oh, I don't need to worry about it. Nobody in our family is a compulsive gambler. The fact is, it will affect everybody in Nebraska, not just with our increase in taxes, but also we don't know that our kids or our grandkids might not go over there on a whim someday and get addicted. We know a story of a friend of ours, godly man, who 30 years ago went to pick up his sister at a casino, and she said, oh, here's a couple of quarters. Put those in for me before we leave. He did, and that's all it took for him to carry that secret addiction for 30 years.
Wow. In the case of the young man that we were talking about, he had not only gambled away all of his inheritance, which was quite substantial, and then he started stealing from his parents. That's when they realized what he was doing. It cost them $50,000 to send him to Texas for rehabilitation. And when he came back, he said, I still can't go to Omaha without an escort. So that's how powerful this addiction is. And years ago, when you talked about vices, you always said it was gambling, it was alcohol, it was drugs. And now you're calling it gaming instead of gambling and trying to make it popular. it's still a vice, and we still need to prevent it from affecting our youth and our families.
That's so important that you bring that up, because the question is, why do Christians need to be concerned about it? Some people go over there just to play with $100 for fun for the evening. But the fact is, it's a vice. Actually, gambling is perpetrated on greed, the sin of greed. And in Exodus 20, verse 17, we're told in the Ten Commandments, do not covet your neighbor's goods. That's what we're coveting, because gambling isn't taking money from Vegas. It's taking money from your neighbor. Their losses go into your pocket.
Exactly.
So you're coveting their money when you go to these casinos. And then Proverbs 28:22 says, greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Greed is the basis for this. And when we try and get rich quick, that's not what God has in mind for us. He tells us to work for our good. Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those in need. And Proverbs 28:19 reminds us, those who work their land and have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Eventually, if we chase gambling, whether it's the lottery, which is legal here, that's not what you're fighting. You are standing against casinos coming into Nebraska, because that will destroy our city, our culture, our state. As a matter of fact, just one casino in Omaha would increase gambling losses in Omaha by 66% and add $132 million in social costs, while Nebraskans continue to gamble in Iowa. That's according to a 2002 Omaha Chamber of Commerce study. You have all kinds of studies prove how gambling destroys people and destroys cities and businesses. So what do people need to do to stop this from happening?
Well, they have to vote no on 429 to begin with, and then 430 and 431. But 429 is the head of the snake. That's the constitutional amendment. That is the worst one. If we just defeat that, then the other two will die a natural death. But what you were talking about with covetousness, you've got to remember, the House never loses. Never. So if you're sitting at a slot machine and you win, it's because you took the money from the person sitting next to you who lost. You're not going to win and take money from the House. The House never loses. But we will lose if we pass 429. I don't know how many of your listeners have gone up to South Dakota. You just can't believe the devastation and how frequently these machines are placed. Because by law up there, they can have a certain number of machines. It has to be in a separate building and it's licensed. But what they've done is connect them to quick shops. They've connected them to McDonald's and Burger King's. They're everywhere, these little pop-ups. And all they have to do is have a passageway between the legitimate business and this little trailer that holds all the slot machines.
Once they get legal, we're going to see them everywhere. They're going to influence our children. Our children are not going to be able to walk into any place of business without seeing these slot machines. And then, don't the Indian casinos allow them for 18 and older?
Yes. In fact, when Council Bluffs put those three big casinos right across the river from Omaha, there already were two Indian casinos farther up. And a lot of the kids from Nebraska could go up there, because they challenged the state when they put the three casinos into and said, we want to change our age to 18. Iowa said, no, the legal age for gambling is 21. They said, we're a sovereign nation. And they took it to court and they won. For a long time, we've had young people from Lincoln and from Omaha, if they want to spend a wild weekend, go up there. Now, once they go into the building, into the casinos in Iowa, there's no legal jurisdiction. No one from the state patrol or anything are allowed in. They are sovereign nations. So we know that they're allowed to gamble in those two casinos at 18. But we also question whether are they getting alcohol, which is also illegal. But they're not allowed to go in and check.
They're keeping the message simple, which is keep the money in Nebraska and promising property tax relief. We've just shown you today how that's not true. But you need to educate yourself. You need to have the facts. I encourage you to go to Gambling with the Good Life's website, gwtgl.com, to find out the facts. But more importantly, I encourage you to turn to the Lord on all of this, because gambling, no way in the Bible is gambling acceptable. No way is it proper for a Christian to behave. Because remember, all of our wealth comes from God. He gives us the ability to make money, and He wants us to use money for good, for His purposes, and as I read earlier in Ephesians, to serve others. Remember what Jesus said? You cannot serve two masters. When we have one foot in the church or in Christianity and one foot in the world, specifically doing what we want to do with our money, then we are serving two masters. We are putting the resources that God has given to us to use for good into the hands of those who use it for evil. Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That means that what happens in Nebraska will stay in Nebraska if casinos are allowed in our state. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Gambling is based on greed, wanting more, not caring how you get it, as long as you get it. And we know with that kind of an attitude that you're never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, "Whoever loves money, it's never enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless."
You know, for 25 years, our coalition, and it's truly grassroots coalition, is so diversified. I mean, I just love it, because there are liberals and there are conservatives and everything in between that agree with us on this issue. They don't agree on many other things, but we always give God the glory. For 25 years, God's given us a miracle.
And I'm excited that you said that, because you have been the epitome of trusting in God for all this. Thank you, Pat Lunger, Executive Director of Gambling with the Good Life, for being with us today. I encourage you, go to their website at gwtgl.com. Visit them on Facebook. More importantly, get their information in your hands. Pass it out to your friends. Give it to your pastors. Ask your pastors to speak on it, because legally, pastors and 501c3 organizations can talk against a ballot initiative. Vote no on ballot initiatives 429, specifically, that's the most important, but also 430 and 431, so we can keep Nebraska the good life.